Good morning and welcome to the Health Matters Radio Show. It's Monday, it's the 29th of July 2019. I'm Neil De Silva and I hope you all have had a great weekend and you're all raring to go for the week ahead. On today's show, we have some great topics to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about it in a moment. Insomnia. What it is, how we can deal with it if we struggle with lack of sleep. We're also going to talk towards the end of the show about kidney stones and how to recognise some of the symptoms that you may have kidney stones. And in the middle, we have our special guest interview of the morning. Today, we have Leanne Reynolds from Beat It Dance and Fitness. Good morning, Leanne.
Hello, good morning, Neil.
It's great to have you on the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And we're going to find out more about what Leanne does in about 20 minutes or so. So a quick reminder of the show's social media feeds on Twitter. If you go to @HealthRadioShow, you can follow the show's Twitter feed. On Facebook, search the Health Matters Radio Show and you can like the show's Facebook page. You'll be able to listen again to this show and you can listen to all previous shows as well on the media page of my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk, or on iTunes. I have a podcast. Go to iTunes, go to podcasts and search the Health Matters Radio Show and you can subscribe to the show's podcast. So before we kick off, a quick disclaimer. The purpose of this show is to provide you with competent information on the subject matters covered and to help educate and inform you in ways that you might be able to improve your own health. However, this is on the understanding that I'm not engaged in providing medical advice and the content of the show should not be treated as a substitute for such. If you have any concerns about your general health or you require medical or other expert assistance, please speak to a suitably qualified healthcare professional, which in many cases can be obtained by dialing 111 first or speaking with your local pharmacist. All the content is provided for general information only, and I encourage you to do your own research. And the show is based on my knowledge, my research, my experience, and often my opinion. And I disclaim any liability that is incurred from the use of or application of the content of the show. Okie dokie, so on to insomnia. Now, lots of people that struggle with lack of sleep will self-label themselves as an insomniac, or perhaps they'll miss one or two nights good sleep and they'll say, oh, I've got insomnia. But lots of people don't really understand what insomnia is, what can cause insomnia, and what the different types of insomnia are. So over the next 15 minutes or so, we're going to talk about that subject. Perhaps if you are struggling with insomnia, there might be some tips in this piece to actually help you to deal with the condition. So insomnia essentially is being unable to actually fall asleep or to stay asleep. Now, this has a massive impact to the sufferer's life because it doesn't just affect their sleep, it affects their waking hours too. And it's estimated that around one third of us experience insomnia at some point in our lives. Now, normally, it only lasts for a short time, although it can go on for months and years. And women and elderly people, excuse me, are more likely to suffer from it than the younger population and men. So what causes insomnia? Now, there are several possible causes. Now, sometimes people can develop insomnia for no obvious reasons. But some good reasons and some common reasons for developing insomnia include things like poor sleeping habits. So if you're not in a good sleep routine, if you sleep early some days and late other days, then that can affect you and can lead on to insomnia. If you're taking substances, so we're talking about here like caffeine, nicotine, alcohol, amphetamine, some prescription medications, they can really affect your ability to sleep. If you're suffering from stress, so that can be work stress or financial stress or relationship problems, or perhaps you've lost someone close to you that you love, that can affect your sleep as well. If you've got medical issues, particularly those conditions that cause pain, but also hormonal changes as well. So when women go through the menopause, that can lead on to insomnia. But if you've got breathing issues, perhaps if you've got bad asthma or you've got urinary or digestive issues, that can cause insomnia as well. If you have mental health issues, so anxiety, depression, or other disorders, that can lead to insomnia. If you've got sleep apnea, or you've got circadian rhythm disorder, which is caused by irregular sleep patterns, but also restless leg syndrome, that can lead to poor sleep quality and quantity as well. As I mentioned, the elderly are likely to get it more than younger people. And for those of you that do shift work, when you do shift work, that can really mess up your sleep patterns, and that can lead to insomnia as well. Now, there are different types of insomnia. You've got acute insomnia, or short-term insomnia, as it's commonly called. And this actually only lasts for a few days or maybe a few weeks, normally caused by stress or a life event that's happened to an individual. Maybe you've had a bereavement in the family, perhaps. And most people actually recover from this naturally without any medical or pharmaceutical intervention. The other type is chronic or long-term insomnia. Now, this is classified as having at least 3 nights of bad sleep a week over a month or longer. Now, this is normally due to long-term anxiety or other serious health issues. And for that, normally the individual would seek medical advice. Primary insomnia refers to insomnia where there's no underlying cause. And secondary insomnia is normally due to an underlying health issue or maybe anxiety, depression, or any other illness. Now, the symptoms of insomnia are pretty obvious. So difficulty getting to sleep, perhaps waking up in the night and having trouble going back to sleep, and some people don't even think about this, waking up too early is a symptom of insomnia. So it's not just about sleep quality and quantity. It's also about getting up too early in the morning as well. And this can cause problems. This can cause daytime sleepiness. It can cause fatigue. It can cause poor concentration in the individual. They can become forgetful. They can make errors. They can become very irritable or grumpy. They may have this thing called sleep anxiety, which is where people worry about lack of sleep. And because of the worry about lack of sleep, they don't get sleep. So it kind of goes around in quite a vicious circle, which can be a big problem. What some people will do is they will keep a sleep diary. And actually, if you think you're suffering with insomnia, and you've not spoken to your doctor yet, it might be an idea to keep a sleep diary for a while so you've got some evidence of your sleep patterns and which you can present to your doctor, and they may be able to help you from there. But interestingly, sleep deprivation, they've done some tests recently, and severe sleep deprivation can affect our driving ability as much as alcohol. So it's quite a serious condition, and it does increase the risk of making mistakes or having an accident. Now, normally a diagnosis is done through a physical examination, particularly if the cause of the insomnia is unknown. So they might be looking at other health or medical problems that you might have that might be related to your insomnia. You may be asked to do a blood test because it could be linked to thyroid issues or any other conditions that are associated with poor sleep. You may be asked to do a sleep study if it's really severe, or they can't get to the bottom of the reason why you're getting, or you've got the insomnia, then you might be asked to spend a night in a sleep centre where they will monitor you. They will actually look at other bodily functions as well. So your brain waves, your breathing, your heartbeat, your eye movements, your body movements, to try to establish the cause of the insomnia. You might also have to do a sleep habits review, in which your doctor will ask you sleep-related questions. You may be asked to fill in a questionnaire to determine your sleeping and waking patterns. And as I mentioned, you might also be asked to keep a sleep diary. But if you've got a sleep diary already, it might speed up the process. So in terms of treatment, obviously there is pharmaceutical intervention. You can get medication from your doctors. Generally, they will try to not recommend medication first off. They'll look at other options. So they might suggest changing your sleep habits, perhaps help with reducing stress. Maybe if there's medication that's causing the problem, you might be asked to change the medication, or you might be asked to reduce the medication. Your doctor might also recommend CBT. Now, CBT is cognitive behavioral therapy, but it's actually a thing called CBTI, which is cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia. And this helps you to control or eliminate negative thoughts and actions that keep you awake. And generally speaking, it's actually recommended as the first line of treatment for people with insomnia. As I mentioned, going straight to medication, it does happen in some cases, but generally speaking, doctors will often recommend CBT to try it to help the individual rather than going down the pharmaceutical route. Because it has been proven that actually CBTI can be as effective as pharmaceutical sleep-inducing medication. So the C part, the cognitive part of the CBTI, teaches you to recognise and change beliefs that affect your worry and your ability to sleep. It can also help to control negative thoughts that can also keep you awake. And the behavioural part, the B part of the CBT, can help you to develop good sleep habits and to help you avoid behaviours that keep you from sleeping well. And this behavioural part can include things like stimulus control therapy and also relaxation techniques as well. And another interesting development with CBT is light therapy. So it's using light therapy to help you to get your body clock back into sync. As I mentioned, with prescription medication, it's not always the first line of action with your doctor. And the problem is sleeping pills can normally only be prescribed over a short space of time, so maybe a few weeks, maybe a month. There are medications that are approved for long-term use in more serious cases, but generally doctors don't like to prescribe sleeping tablets because they can have side effects. You know, things like daytime grogginess increases the risk of falling. They can also be habit-forming as well as having other side effects. And there are also non-prescription medications, so over-the-counter medications that you can take. But generally, these will contain antihistamines, and it's the antihistamine that can make you feel drowsy. But these are not intended for regular use. So if you're intending to take over-the-counter medications, talk to your doctor first, because they have side effects like sleepiness during the day. They can cause dizziness, confusion. They can also cause cognitive decline as well, and they can also induce a difficulty urinating, and that problem can get worse, particularly in older adults. So the key takeaway is if you are struggling with insomnia, you're not alone. There is help out there. Some people, if it's a short-term issue, perhaps it's a stressful period in their life or they've had a bereavement, they can often deal with those issues themselves. But if it's a longer-term problem and it's really affecting your quality of life, then perhaps it's worth having a chat with your doctor, seeing what your doctor says, and then taking it from there. So after the break, we are going to go on to our special guest interview with Leanne. But to take us there, we have a classic from Guns N' Roses.
do we go now? Where do we go? Where do we go now? 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 Where do we go? Where do we go now? No, 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 no. Sweet child, sweet child of mine.
I thought I would play that out right to the very last second, because Axl Rose, when he holds that note, wow, it gives me goosebumps. That was Sweet Child of Mine by Guns N' Roses. Fabulous song. You're listening to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. A quick reminder of the show's social media feeds. On Twitter, it's at Health Radio Show. On Facebook, search the Health Matters Radio Show and you'll be able to follow the show's Facebook page. And you'll be able to listen again to this show on iTunes Podcast. Go to iTunes, go to Podcast, type in the Health Matters Radio Show and subscribe. And also on the media page of my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. And as always, if you'd like to contact me individually and away from social media, please do that through the contact page of my website. So, on to our guest interview of the morning. Today we have Leanne Reynolds, and Leanne is from Beat It Dance and Fitness. I'm going to find out more about what Leanne does, but more importantly, how she can help you, but also how she got into doing what she currently does. She has a fascinating story to tell. So, good morning, Leanne. It's great to have you on the show this morning.
Hello, good morning, Neil. Thank you.
And I'm really interested in your background, because there's a lot in your background, in your story, that I can relate to. So let's kick it off right at the start. Before we talk about what you're doing at the moment, give us some background as to how you got into doing what you're doing.
So yes, I do have a bit of a mixture, but I'd say mostly my background is in entertainment, dance and fitness. I've always been passionate about helping others as well. Mm-hmm. When I was younger, I started off at Canterbury College. I did a diploma in performing arts dance. That was my passion at that age. And then later on, I basically decided to head abroad. I've always been a fan of travel, always enjoyed holidays as a youngster. So I decided to audition for First Choice Holidays in my early 20s. Mm-hmm. I basically became an entertainer and danced in their shows of an evening, which I thoroughly enjoyed for a year or two. I then wanted to branch out a little bit further, so decided to go to cruise ships.
Okay.
So I was there for 4 years with Royal Caribbean.
That was quite a big jump, wasn't it?
It was, yes. I aim high.
That's yeah, absolutely. Definitely, definitely.
Got to have goals in mind. I think that's the main thing. It's always heading towards the next goal and growing. I'm mm-hmm. a big believer in, you know, trying to do better all the time. So, yes, I did cruise ships for a while. It was fantastic. We got to see the world, met some amazing people. But most of all, you know, you get to help people create those special memories whilst being on holiday, which was fantastic. So, yes, we did all the entertaining in the daytime. It could be anything from hosting different events to you might be helping on the rock climbing wall the next minute, you know, or you might be doing water games in the pool. So it was a real mixture. It was good fun.
And I take it you got time to relax as well. It's not just all work. I can imagine working on a cruise ship is pretty intense.
It can be. In fact, my friends used to irritate me saying, oh, you're so lucky working on the ships and just a full-time holiday.
But yeah.
What they didn't see behind the curtains is you're up potentially 5 a.m. You might be docked somewhere. You have to get all those passengers off, up to 3,000-4,000 people. Mm. And, you know, you might be up until, even though it's fun work, you might be up until midnight doing a pool party for the guests, you know. So long hours, you don't have a day off in 6 months either. So
wow.
We did have time out.
So it literally is a 7-day-a-week job.
Certainly is, yes.
Wow.
Yes.
So you've got to have that passion. You've got to have that real drive to want to do that if you're working that hard.
Yes, absolutely. I think it's not for everyone. And I do think you have to be passionate about what you're doing, especially to be away from family for 6 months as well.
Yeah.
But definitely has its highs, including lows. But yeah, it was one of the best experiences of my life. So I think if you want to travel, and you enjoy working with people, I would definitely recommend it.
So how long were you on the ships for?
I was there for around 4 years.
Okay.
And then as much as I loved the job, I didn't really want the commitment of going up to management at the time in my mid-20s. And I'd always wanted my own business, so I decided to come back home. I did also have a background in personal training, so I went back to a bit of personal training.
Mm-hmm.
I randomly decided to go as cabin crew as well, so I worked for EasyJet for 4 years.
Oh, wow.
I think I just missed the travel, so I was doing that for a while, and I worked for BA for a year as well. So
I bet the places that you've not been to around the world are a lot less than the places that you've been to.
Well, you think that, but I have a map at home with all these pins of where I've been. And even though there's probably more there than most people would have, but I still feel like there's a lot more to tick off the list. You know, it's never ending, isn't it?
I won't ask what life with EasyJet was like.
No, hard work. but moving on from the flying, which was a bit of a random job, but I think the travel lured me in from that end. But after that, I did go back to personal training, which the best thing about that really is you're changing people's lives and you're really just educating them. But it's also a lot about mindset, which is so important. So you can be, it doesn't matter what your goals are. If your mindset's not there, it's very hard to achieve. I'm a big believer. I think 80% of it is all in your mind.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
So, yeah, that was a great thing to do. I used to teach a lot of fitness classes, which I love. So motivating, and, it's nice to be able to inspire people and keep them healthy. That's really my background. It's a complete mixture. I could talk forever on it, but that's in a nutshell what my background, yes.
So what's the real driving force for you? Is it educating people? Is it seeing them change their life? Is it just motivating people to, people that ordinarily perhaps have struggled with making change, seeing the way they progress, seeing the way that they change their habits, seeing the way that they become more healthy? What's the real motivation for you?
I think a little mixture of everything. I think where I travelled so much and met with so many people and worked with so many people, when you have 3,000 people on a ship every week that's changing over consistently, you do come across many people. And even on holiday, even though they're on vacation, you get to realise there are lots of people out there that are not as healthy as what they'd like to be. They are not in jobs they're enjoying.
Yeah.
And I do think it's a high percent of people that are just not living the lives that they should be living or that they would love to live. So I think really ultimately long term, I want to just help as many people as possible in many ways with the fitness, with health. And I think health is priority. If you don't have your health, how can you spend time with your family? How can you have that time and freedom, which I think ultimately is what most of us probably want?
Yeah.
How can you go on those vacations if you don't have your health? So that is obviously a first thing, excuse me. but also I think helping people, just inspiring them in some way, whether that's through the dance side or the fitness or the entertainment side on my behalf, just being able to inspire them to, even if they come away thinking, maybe I would like to take up a dance class, maybe I should get into a fitness class. Cause I think ultimately you have to be enjoying what you're doing to be able to stick to it.
Yeah.
So many different ways.
And I think helping people realise that there is in most cases, there is a healthier version of them somewhere to be found.
Yes.
Unless someone is uber healthy, and let's face it, I work in a similar industry to you. Mm-hmm. Very rarely will you see someone at their peak of physical fitness. And people don't realise that, getting older doesn't mean a constant decline into poor health. I see people change their lives that they're happier and healthier 10 years on than they were 10 years previously. But it's that realisation that wherever you are with your health, there's probably a healthier version of you waiting to get out. And I talk to business owners who spend so much time on their business and in their business and on, working on the health of their business to the expense of their own health. And if they only realise that if they were healthy, they would be better positioned to help their business be healthier.
Absolutely. I think some people think that we're guilty for putting ourselves first in life, but I'm a big believer of putting yourself first, because then how can I serve others? Even if it's my family, how can I serve others if I'm not feeling well? If I'm waking up feeling dreary
going back to the working on the aeroplanes, what's the first thing they teach you if the masks come down? Is you put your own mask on first.
Absolutely.
In a serious situation, if you're not best equipped to help other people, how can you help other people?
Yes, exactly that. So I think it's very important to put yourself first and just blocking that time out for just mentally and physically.
So the name of your business, okay, I've just had a massive penny drop moment now, because there is a link to Michael Jackson.
Yes, there is.
Which we're going to discuss in a moment. But is that the reason why your business is called Beat It?
No.
Oh,
no.
Damn. I thought I was being really clever then.
Whether it had, I guess that helped.
Was there a subliminal thing there, perhaps?
Possibly.
Possibly.
I think ultimately, Beat It for me means it's a life thing.
Yeah.
So be the best version of you. Whatever your goal is, beat it. Always, I think we're here to give and to grow, mostly, predominantly.
Yeah.
I think we're here for a reason. I think we want, we all have a true meaning of being here. And I think not a lot of us are in alignment with that and feeling our fulfillment in life, if this is going a bit deep. But do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it ultimately means, like Michael Jackson said in his song, really, beat it, but in a different way.
Yourself. Yeah.
Be the best version of you. Aim high. Do the goals in life that you know, it's like sending a ship off, isn't it, with no directions. You need a pinpoint to where are you going.
Yeah. And also I think it's a very it's very definitive in taking action.
Yes.
You know, beat it is very to the point, very, very, very punchy. It's not ambiguous. It is about taking action and getting those results. But so tell us a bit more about the link with Michael Jackson then.
I remember being 5-6 years old, my mum's kitchen. She had this awful vinyl, sorry mum if you're listening, a vinyl, you know, the old vinyl kitchen floors. Anyway, you know, trying to practice the moonwalk at 5-6 years old. Loved his music, and I think mostly I loved his humanitarianism. You know, he helped so many people.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, this year we was very lucky. Well, I'll go back a step. Actually, a couple of years ago, I saw, I think it was on Facebook. It was just random post. You know, it said a Michael Jackson workshop in Germany. I think it was with his choreographer Lavelle Smith Jr. So I thought, wow, I have to go. So made arrangements, went over to this workshop, met Lavelle, who was Michael's choreographer for over 23 years. He's one of his best friends and his head dancer. He toured with him, you know, throughout as well. And cut a long story short, we managed to get him over. I managed to get contact with him. He came over in March this year and I did a workshop with him. We did two. We did one at Rochester Dance Junction in Kent, which is where I run dance parties from now as well.
Mm-hmm.
We did one at Pineapple Dance Studios in London as well. So it was just a fantastic experience. We had lots of MJ fans and dancers that came along to the workshop. We had the children dress up, you know, it was really good.
Fantastic. So what was it like working with him?
He's a lovely guy. He's very down to earth. He's very approachable.
Yeah.
And he loves the kids. He loves teaching all the, and even, you know, the adults were there. And he was just really good fun to be around. And you can see how passionate he is. And I think deep down, there's lots about Michael that he misses. You can see they were very close.
Yeah.
But more than anything, you know, just listening to his stories, working with Michael, you know, imagine that, working alongside the King of Pop for 20 years. It's very inspiring.
Yeah.
And it was nice to be able to share that gift with other fans and other dancers around London and down here in Kent.
Wow, fabulous. So let's bring it up to date. Let's talk about your business at the moment. So tell us a little bit more about Beat It Dance and Fitness. Tell us a little bit more about what you do and how you can help people.
So we basically offer dance and fitness parties for special occasions. We started off offering children's parties.
Mm-hmm.
We have various themes they can choose from, classic parties where we'll just dance with them, do routines, we'll do fun games. And then we branched out more into, we also offer parties for adults, whether it's an anniversary celebration or it might be, we offer hen parties as well. So we do different dance experiences for groups of hens, which is really good fun.
I bet that's quite interesting.
Yes.
Quite an experience.
They come very hyped up, but that's the best situation.
Yeah.
You know, just their energy. They're all up for a laugh.
They're buzzing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, particularly if you've got a group of girls that are not dancers, I can't dance. And I think if you can walk, you can dance. So that's the satisfaction at the end when they've got this whole routine and they show you. So that's always good.
Mm-hmm.
But this year we're branching out into the corporate business as well. So we now offer three different packages for corporate events.
Okay.
And we also do wedding dances. So first wedding dances, we know there's people out there that are, you know, a little bit worried about their first dance, which is obviously very important. We also offer a wedding flash mob, which is, I think, it's come over from the States and is now becoming popular over here. So
was this the one that was in the office? Was it in the office, the American office? I seem to remember there was a routine where they were going down the aisle and they were all dancing. I don't know.
Did
they copy a video, or did another video copy them?
Oh, I'm not sure.
I don't know. But yeah.
The idea is they'll be maybe with the flash mob, you're saying?
Yeah.
So it might be that you and your wife, newlywed, you know, start jumping down the aisle, dancing.
Yeah, and then people follow you and all that.
Exactly that.
If you've not seen the video, I'll show it. I'll show you afterwards. I think we're on the same page on that one. But yeah, I mean, it's so good to watch. It's such a unique experience. Excellent. Tell me more about the team building for businesses, because that's quite a unique take on the sort of the team building aspect of, you know, of businesses.
Sure. So the idea was, I mean, we've created three different packages. They're very new, but we're really excited to launch them. So the first one is called Move It. Mm-hmm. The concept behind that is if you have, you know, a big corporate meeting and you've got a spare half an hour and you want to kind of energize everyone, you know, get everyone in the mood, pumped up a little bit, we will come in for either 30 minutes, 45 minutes or an hour. Mm-hmm. We'll do a little warm up. We'll do some team building games, possibly, you know, a little icebreaker, and we can either teach a little routine. You can mix and match lots of different things. So we also have a background in nutrition and fitness. Mm-hmm. So you can incorporate, it might be a little fitness class to get everyone in the mood and, you know, energized. So that's the first one. The next one is more of a dance experience called Move It. Mm-hmm. So the idea behind that is, again, great for a team building event. So it doesn't matter how many of you, 20, 30 people in the office, and you want to create that atmosphere where people get to know each other, and they might learn a routine in an hour or 2 hours. And they get to perform it at the end. And obviously there's opportunities there for them to be able to create their own little dance piece. So it is teamwork.
Yep.
It can build confidence, obviously good exercise. And more than anything, it really does, you know, release happy hormones. Dancing is such a good form of stress relief and exercise. And
So
yes, that's the idea behind that. And we also have a 4-hour workshop, which we're really excited to launch. So that's basically everything. We do the whole judging panel at the end. Mm-hmm. We teach two different styles. So it will be 2 1-hour dance lessons. You get to choose a theme. So obviously it can be quite unique to your company and what your goals are.
Yeah.
And at the end, they just perform, you know, have a judging panel. So it's just a really good fun, something fun to do.
And it's different in the market as well.
Yes.
Lots of companies offer wellbeing programs, and but I've not heard of one that incorporates dance.
Yes.
So that's quite a unique take.
Yes.
Yeah, that's interesting. And in terms of the areas that you operate in, you mentioned that your studio is based in Rochester. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes, we do. We do work from Rochester Dance Junction. Mm-hmm. They have fantastic studios there. They've been up and running for a long time. Great facilities. We have various different sizes of the studios. So it doesn't matter if you have a party of 10 or 50 to 80. Mm-hmm. We also go to any venue around Kent of your choice as well. So it might be that we have a lot of customers that have parties for their children or for an adult's anniversary celebration at their homes. We've done all sorts, garden parties. We've come out to, you know, do village fates, village halls, all sorts. Schools. Brilliant. As well.
So tell me more about some of the successes or any sort of case studies that you've had recently with the business.
That's really hard to say, isn't it? Because we've had so many, that the parties that we do for the children are always fantastic. And when the parents are happy at the end, that's always, you know, that's
always
good
sign. A good sign, isn't it? Yeah.
But I mean, the funniest thing, I suppose, is I've had so many adults. The way that the adult parties came about is after many of the children's parties when we started, some of the adults came up saying, wow, this is so much fun. You know, we should do adult parties. And then that, I think the penny just dropped and I thought, hang on, maybe this is a sign, you know. So that's always a nice feeling when the parents kind of give you suggestions to do ones for adults. But I think more recently, something that stands out for me is I had a couple, they wanted a private salsa lesson. They'd been taking lessons a few years ago and they basically said they lost confidence. And it can be quite daunting. I don't know if you've been to a salsa session before. It's a nice sociable event. Mm. But it can be quite daunting if you're new, and especially if you've never danced before. And so they got put off, and I think they wanted to build their confidence up a little bit. So we had a private lesson about a month ago, and I just, you know, went from the basics, taught a whole routine for them. Mm-hmm. And by the end, they, you know, they were really, they did seem very happy. And they said, oh, you know, we feel much better. We would like to get back into it. So that was my main aim, really, just to be able to build their confidence back up so that they would feel comfortable to go back to being in a group, a big group of people dancing, you know. And I think it's, again, it's all about mindset and building that confidence back up.
No, that's great. That's great. So we're partway through 2019. Where does the rest of 2019 and into 2020 take you? What are your plans for the business?
So for the rest of this year, I would really like to focus a lot more on our corporate events that we're just launching. And I think, to be honest, I would really like to push the fitness as well. I'm not doing really any fitness classes at the moment because it's, you know, it's very hard trying to fit everything in. But I would love to introduce some more, some fitness classes again this September. I used to teach a lot of the Les Mills, kind of the grit, the plyo. I don't know if you've heard of those, but they're the HIIT kind of training classes.
Oh, yes.
Zumba, that kind of thing. So I would love to be able to get those kind of classes up and running locally. That would be fantastic.
Brilliant. So if people want to get hold of you, if listeners want to get hold of you, what's your website address?
So our website is www.beatdancefitness.com. Mm-hmm. They can email us at fun@beatdancefitness.com or they can contact me on 0755-408-2596.
And you're also on Facebook and Instagram as well.
Yes, we are. We are on facebook.com/beatdancefitness and Instagram beatdancefitness.
Super. I'll put your contact details. I'll put your website address as well on the post promotion that I do for the show as well. So people will be able to click through to the links from my posts onto your website. I'll also put a link to your Facebook page as well.
Fantastic.
But thank you, Leanne. Thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been really interesting to find out more about what you do and also how you got into doing what you do, because it's about the journey as well. I'm a great believer that with, you know, in the industry that we work in particularly, people buy from people. Mm-hmm. And when you get to understand someone's background and their journey and what's brought them to doing what they're doing, you can see the real drive and the real passion that they have. So thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I wish you every success for the future.
Thank you. Likewise. Thank you.
After the break, we are going to have a chat about kidney stones.
Being here is heavenly. Every single day she sends, everything is free. I used to be so careless, as if I couldn't care less. Did I have to make this mess when I was Mary's bread? Suddenly the heavens rolled, suddenly the rain came down, suddenly was washed. Shake the tree too hard, the bow is gone.
That was Danny Wilson and Mary's Prayer. You're listening to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. A quick reminder of the show's social media feeds. On Twitter, it's at Health Radio Show. On Facebook, if you go to Facebook and search the Health Matters Radio Show, you can follow and like the show's Facebook page. You'll be able to listen again to this show, and all, you can listen to all previous 67 shows on the media page of my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. Or if you've got an iTunes device and a pod and an iPod or an iPhone or whatever, you can go to iTunes, subscribe to the podcast, just simply type in the Health Matters Radio Show. Okay, so on to the subject of kidney stones, which might seem a little bit random to some people, but actually has come up a couple of times over the last month or so with some people that I know, predominantly because they had them and they didn't realise that they had them. And most people have heard of kidney stones, but they don't really understand how they're caused, some of the symptoms perhaps, and also some of the ways that you can reduce the risk of getting them, because if you get kidney stones, it's not always a great time. It can be quite painful. So essentially, kidney stones are rock-like masses of crystals that form in the kidneys. Now, they can be quite painful, and sometimes they can be very serious. So if we go as we go through this piece, if you can identify with some of the symptoms, it might be worth having a chat with your doctor, because it's generally one of those conditions that doesn't really get better by itself. It needs some intervention. So you're more likely to get a kidney stone. If you've had kidney stones in the past, the chances of you getting another one are actually increased. But also, if they run in your family, or if you're carrying too much weight, or you've got high blood pressure, or you suffer with gout, then the risk of getting kidney stones is increased. And actually, some antiviral drugs can also increase the risk of kidney stones as well. But in most cases, it's not really known why people develop kidney stones. And there are many different types of kidney stones, but the most common type are made from calcium. And these can range from the size of a grain of sand, and they will pass out naturally. They can grow to the size of a golf ball. Now, obviously, if you've got a kidney stone the size of a golf ball, you're probably going to know it. And hopefully you've got some, you've taken some medical advice, and there is some medical intervention to help you. But if you get pain in your back, in your side, in your lower in your lower belly, or in your groin, then that is an indication that you've got kidney stones. And you get those pains when they start to become quite severe. But in many cases, people feel no pain, and actually, the kidney stone in some cases will pass from your kidney to your bladder. And if you're fortunate, if it's small enough, it will go from your bladder to the outside world. Excuse me. So, you know, in some cases, the kidney stone, if it's small enough, you might feel it passing out. But if it's any bigger than can be passed out, it can cause a blockage, and it can cause all these, you know, this serious back pain, side pain, belly pain, and groin pain. Now, in addition to the pain, there are other symptoms that you might relate to. If you've got blood in your urine, I mean, if you've got blood in your urine anyway, you need to get it checked out, okay? So, but it can be a symptom of kidney stones. If you feel sick, so if you feel nauseous, that can be a symptom of kidney stones as well. And again, it's a bit like the symptoms of undiagnosed type 2 diabetes, you know, one swallow doesn't make a summer. So if you've only got one of these, it might not be kidney stones, but if you can identify with maybe two or more, it's worth perhaps getting it checked out. But I hasten to add that if you get blood in your urine at any time, you need to get it checked out. So blood in your urine, feeling nauseous. If you're physically vomiting, that can be a symptom. If you have a fever, if you've got hot and cold shivers or hot and cold sweats, that can be a symptom as well. If when you pass urine, you feel like you've got gravel in your urine, which can be a weird thing to say, it's something that most people perhaps won't experience, but if it doesn't feel normal, if it feels rough when you're going to the toilet, that can be a symptom as well. And also the need to pass urine on a regular basis, or urgently. If you suddenly get an urgency to go to the toilet, that can be a symptom as well. The kidney stones are often found by chance. during tests for other conditions, a bit like type 2 diabetes. They tend to find it when they're looking for something else. And these can be found in things like urine tests and blood tests. But if you do have kidney stones, then you might be asked to go for an X-ray or an ultrasound just to see how bad the condition is. Often you'll be prescribed painkillers to deal with the pain if the pain is mild. But if the pain is severe, then obviously a more serious intervention will take place. If you've got kidney stones and there isn't surgical intervention, if that's, perhaps it's not that serious, then you'll be asked to drink lots of water. And in fact, most stones, as I mentioned, are quite small and they tend to come out on their own. If they're small enough to come out in the urine, they'll just make their way through the system. If you think you've got kidney stones, what you can do is you can actually urinate through a piece of stocking, which means you'll catch the stone if you think you've got a stone. So if you do catch a stone, keep it in a clean jar and then take it to your doctor. Because as I mentioned, if you pick up one kidney stone, you'll probably pick up another one as the months and years progress. And if you've got the one that you've, if you manage to retain the one you've got, you can take it to your doctor. They can do an analysis of it and they can find out what it's come from or what it's made from, which might be able to help you mitigate the risk of getting one again in the future. But if it is a larger one, then you might need to go to hospital. Often they'll use ultrasound to break it up into pieces, and then obviously you'll pass it out naturally. If it's really bad, you may need an operation to remove it. If you go to your doctor and they are able to analyse the kidney stone, they might be able to give you medication to make your urine less acidic, or they'd be able to give you antibiotics if there's a kidney or bladder infection, which may help reduce the risk in future. So what can you do? What can you do to prevent getting kidney stones in the first place? Well, the first thing is drink lots of water. Okay, keep your system clean, keep your kidneys clean, your bladder clean. That also reduces the risk of UTIs as well, but it does actually reduce the risk of kidney stones. You should limit the drinks or limit drinks that contain phosphoric acid. Now, phosphoric acid is a common ingredient in cola drinks, but also some beers as well. And phosphoric acid would encourage the growth of kidney stones. That's quite a serious thing. If you do get UTIs, urinary tract infections, deal with them quickly because they can develop into more serious infections and they can be a precursor to getting kidney stones. So people that get UTIs and they ignore them for a few days hoping they'll go away shouldn't really do that. You need to deal with them as quickly as possible. If you limit your intake of animal protein, so meat, chicken, eggs, those sorts of things, that can reduce the risk of getting kidney stones and also reducing your salt intake as well. And if you have had stones in the past, like I mentioned, it does increase the risk of you getting a stone in the future. Then your doctor might be able to advise you with additional treatments that can help reduce the risk of that happening in the future. And that's it for today's show. I would like to thank you for listening. I hope you found the content of the show interesting. If you'd like me to cover any particular subjects in future, then please drop me a line via my website and I will see if I can accommodate you. I'd like to thank Leanne once again for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Neil. Thank you.
And as mentioned, I will put Leanne's contact details in the post promotion that I do for the show as well. So if you'd like to contact me between shows, please do so through my website, www.i-nutrition.co.uk, or you can do so via social media. If you'd like to come on the show, as Leanne has done today, and talk about your background and your business and how you can help people, then please make contact with me through my website and we'll see about getting you on a future show. And next week, we're going to talk about low blood pressure. So I touched on it on last week's show, but I'm going to cover low blood pressure on next week's show in a bit more detail. So after the last song, we have the Channel Radio News and Weather. But until the same time next Monday, stay happy, stay healthy, have a great week, and I'll catch you next Monday.
The heart is a blue. Space to rent in this town, you're out of luck, and the reason that you had to care. out of this place. Someone you could lend a hand in return. Broken.